Okay, we are talking about communication, relationships, talking, being able to actually hear each other. Overall, what would you say from what you've done with your coaching, what would you say is the first thing to really establish?
The thing that's the most important is to establish, I am interested in who you are and what you have to say. And while I am interested in having my point come across, I will pay at least as much attention to be open to who you are and respect who you are.
I like that you said that. You're finding a way through some of the exercises that you suggest of helping couples to actually hear each other.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that happens a lot to couples when we fight, we don't fight from a place of feeling powerful. We fight from a place of feeling one down. We kind of lose track of the power we have. And one of the things that I try to work with is to make people realize, instead of focusing on how little power they have, and that kind of helps change the way that you communicate with people.
That's very good. Realize that instead of coming from a position of feeling as if you have, and it happens so quickly because as the communication breaks down, there's more frustration, the emotional level goes up,
mm-hmm.
and then anything that's said, it's the other one is more defensive.
Yeah. The person you love is also the person who has the capacity to hurt you by giving you the feeling that you don't count and that what you say is unimportant. So you kind of take refuge behind these high walls and this fortress. And the more you close up, the more the other person is going to feel that you ignore them, and they're going to close up as well. And you have this kind of vicious cycle where you have two people who are really in a very angry, very closed up, very defensive mode, very aggressive mode, who are each scaring each other into feeling that the other is really all bent on destroying them. And what's actually really weird about it is that what the other person is doing is not trying to destroy you, but it's actually trying very hard to get through to you. You know, and the expression in the language, if you think about the words, I'm only trying to get through to you, is I'm trying to have you hear what I have to say. But when you are feeling in a vulnerable mode, the idea that somebody is trying to get through to you evokes the idea of somebody holding a battering ram and trying to destroy your protection.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that what happens is when it's a continual hurt once you come out of that fortress over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
I think you really do get to a place where sometimes that opportunity closes and the heart and the vulnerability just will not come out again.
Yeah.
And that's where you don't want to be. But I do think it can happen.
Of course it does. It can happen.
It's not a choice.
Yeah.
Your heart won't let you.
Yeah. You get into a place where you feel that you've been hurt so much and that you're in constant danger. It becomes a self-preservation. It's a life or death choice that you can't afford to get out of the fortress.
It's good. I think it's important to say that because I think there are people that maybe don't understand that if they haven't been through it, so they are very judgmental. Oh,
yeah.
Well, you couldn't make it work, and you say back, guess what? Wouldn't work.
Yep.
Wouldn't come back out because it's like what you just said, life or death.
This is something that is really what is scaring most of us a lot about conflict, sensing the gulf that separates us, the big divide between what I feel is right, what I feel is needed, and what you feel is needed, and how are we ever going to bridge this gap? How are you going to ever make the other person get it that they're wrong and you're right? Because you each feel that way.
You say just saying the word no, you like a little two-year-old, you're actually talking about just watch and how much you say no, no, no?
Yeah. One of the ways in which we can use language to protect ourselves is saying no. And when you say no, say as if you are extending your hand and pushing somebody back, and you protect your boundaries. No, you think about how there is a hand pushing the other person and broadening the space around yourself. So how we do it is sometimes we don't even use the word no. the way you can roll your eyes when you hear somebody mm-hmm. say something, the way you can just move your head and shake your head no as you listen to somebody. And this happens at the very time that your partner is trying very hard to feel heard and to tell you something and wants you to really let them in terms of understanding them.
So watch your body language, but it's awfully hard because if that's actually how you're feeling,
yeah.
It's not like you're consciously trying to roll your eyes and nod your head. And
well, it's not conscious, but there's something that's a strange interaction that goes on between what's conscious and not. I mean, if you think of it, it's a little like meditation. When you're doing meditation, you're exercising a certain amount of willpower over how you are. I'm suggesting that people can listen and avoiding saying no. No. If the idea is you don't have the right to say no ever, and you're not heard, and it's only to let your partner have their way, you're going to ask me what's in it for me. Why would I do that? But if, on the other hand, the idea is you take turns giving that wonderful experience to the other person to feel heard, then you have everything to gain from it because you're going to take turns and it's going to happen to you as well.
Yeah, and it's really a discipline. You say, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to stay quiet. There are some things, if you stop and think, of just how difficult the world is for everyone, and we're all going through something.
When we talk about working at it, and we talk about how it takes this effort and so on, it kind of makes it seem like a severe, austere work. Mm-hmm. And I think the part that we haven't talked enough about is actually that as you start noticing how nice it feels, both to be heard by your partner, but also to see the pleasure they have being heard and mm-hmm. and being loved from in that very concrete way of you're making room for them. And they're making room for you, it's such a pleasure that it actually is what drives and fuels the effort to communicate better. So mm-hmm. from that place, it's not a question of work, and it's not a question of after your whole day of work, you're going to have to work at your relationship.
Right, right.
But it's not work in the sense that as you do it, you discover that things improve, that actually that what is created is a relationship where you feel that instead of being drained, you have a sense of support, your sense of that it's like an oasis.
Yeah.
And that is ultimately what is going to help you to improve it, is when you start realizing that it does feel good.
This recording is available on the web at proactivechange.com/relationships.